I want to take a moment to thank. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I can pull it up a little bit. That's good. Thank you. I'd like to just take a moment to thank you, Grace Church. Thank you, Grace Church. Thank you. Did I say it already? Grace Church, for the relationship that we have. And I say we have. I'm saying not just with me, but with those who work along with me at Bergen New Bridge Medical Center. You've been with me. Some of you don't realize it, but you've been with me, I would say, what, Susan, maybe about a good, maybe 15 years or something like that? More than that? Huh? 20, about 20 years? And so that's what happens when you get older, okay? You know, 20 years. Yes, yes, yes. It's been a while. And I just want to, again, thank you so much for serving at Bergen New Bridge Medical Center, helping in the services. I've seen, you know, you're right. The young children grow up, go to college, graduate out of college. I saw, it was about a year or so ago. I saw, Courtney. It's about a year, and I was just surprised. She says, hi, Pastor, how you doing? I'm looking. She says, I'm Courtney. I said, Courtney? Yeah, I had an opportunity, to minister with her while she was at Rutgers University. She would call me every once a year, the Chinese congregation. Well, they get together more than once a year, but once a year they would have like a special service, and they would call me to be the speaker for that particular service, that particular evening. And we would get together, and her and a band would play the music and invite me there. And it just goes to show you the relationships that you have with people in life, how it impacts you no matter where you may be surprised. And so I want to thank you, Grace Church. Thank you for volunteering. I want to thank you, Susan, for working with the young kids and getting them out. Alfred and Christopher, thank the Lee families, amen, now, that have been very instrumental in helping. Pastor John Maxim and his wife, Lee Chan. I just want to thank them so much for the relationship that has continued for this period of time as we continue. And yes, someone said it, and I'll say it so that Pastor can hear me. Pastor John, Lee Chan, enjoy your time together. Because I know how it is. You're coming and you're going and you're going and you're going here. I know how it is. So I just, Grace Church, thank you. Thank you ever so much, each and every one of you for your support and for your love. Let's pray. God, we thank you for you. We thank you for you, because there's none like you. Just as we prayed for the children, now we pray as adults. Give us ears and a heart to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for such a time as this. Help us not just to be hearers of your word, but help us to be doers of your word. For there ever was a time that the saints of God need to take the lead in what's going on in the world today, that others would see Christ and the love of Jesus. It is Lord, we thank you that you give us ears to hear, an understanding of your word, an illumination of your word, so that we can apply it to our life. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Amen. I asked Pastor Maxim, is there any theme or is there anything in particular that, you know, that you want me to, because I, you know, if I can, if there's a particular theme, I like to kind of like just flow in that, and unless God gives me something else. And he said, yes, actually there is. And he says that, and this is what he said. He said, why don't you share with the congregation a life transforming scripture that transformed your life? And I said, I didn't have to take long for that, because again, you got a little bit of my story. Because as I was saying, as a child, we would study scriptures in Sunday school just to tell you a little bit about me, I might have shared it before. God had blessed me. I was raised by a single parent, my father. He worked two or three jobs. One of them was a railroad. And he made sure that his kids, in particular his youngest kid, I guess I needed it more than my older brother and sister, but was in Sunday school every Sunday. He made sure. And so what happened? I was in the Reformed Church Sunday school. I was in the Baptist Church Sunday school. I was in the United Methodist Church Sunday school. I was in the Pentecostal Church Sunday school. Whoever church had a Sunday school for little kids, okay, I was there. But little did I know, of course, I got a chance to meet all kinds of people, and I got a chance to, see God at work and different kind of Christian faith tradition. But little did I know that God was grooming me and in the process, he was preparing me. Thank the Holy Ghost. He was preparing me to be able to connect with people of diverse groups, ethnic groups, cultures, languages, etc. Because it turns out that I wind up preaching at a lot of these other denominational churches within the Christian faith. And that has been a blessing. And so I guess, what am I saying? For all of us, we all should have at least one verse that has transformed our life. One, at least one verse, at least one verse. And give some thought to that. One verse that has transformed your life, and that perhaps you've also developed some life lessons for. I'm going to share some with you. John 3:16 has been my verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. John 3:16. 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was the scripture that God brought to my remembrance, and I shared it, and I was the happiest young person to receive my Bible. And I went and I showed my father and showed my brother and sister, look what I got when I, and they said, how did you get that? How did you get that? I guess they wanted to make sure I didn't steal. But anyway, I said, how did you get that? One, that was the scripture that got me over. When I say got me over, it was that scripture that I was one of several, but it was that particular scripture, I guess, that the person was waiting to hear. And I said, John 3:16, and I got it. So you probably want to ask, well, why is that? I don't know, but what I do know is that from that scripture and in my life, God had given me some life lessons to share from that scripture. Okay. So I encourage you to select the scripture and to study it, to pray about it, and to hear and listen from God what you can learn from that particular scripture, and then develop some life lessons from it. And if you don't remember, life has a way of causing you to remember scripture when you need to remember it. And so, life lesson number one, if you want to jot these down, you can. Life lesson, I see you got a little note, sermon notes. There you go, right there. Life lesson number one, God loved the world, and scripture's talking about humanity. God loved the world. He loved, of course, he loved his creation, but in particular, human beings, humans. God loved the world, humanity, so much. He loved us so much. He loved us so much. So what does that mean? If we just stop there, God loved us so much. I say to you, God loved you so much, how does that make you feel? Two thumbs up. There you go. Two thumbs up. Those two thumbs up. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Those two thumbs up mean a lot. Because perhaps as a child growing up,
Perhaps maybe you ran into some people that were supposed to be friends, but they looked at you with two thumbs down, meaning that we don't want her to be a part of our group. We, you know, don't like her because she loves God. And how many of us have experienced somebody that put their thumb down on us for whatever reason? To hear that God loved us so much. So beloved brothers and sisters, God loves us so much because he created us in his image and after his likeness. That's good news. It's simple. It's a very simple message, but it's good news, especially when you feel as though that you don't love yourself. When you feel as though that God doesn't love you or nobody cares. To know that God, who created you and me in his image, loves us. People talk about and sing songs, what love got to do with it? Tina Turner. And I say to that, God's love has everything to do. The difference between God's love and the world's love. The world's love loved you as long as you do for me. Whatever I can get from you, you do for me. I love you. You stop doing for me, I don't love you like I loved you before. It's conditional. It's conditional love, but it's good to know that the God we serve loves us unconditionally. He created us in his image. So life lesson number one is simple, that God loved us. He loves us. He loved us. He created us in his image. Life lesson number two is this. God gave his one and only begotten son. His one and only begotten son. That's important. And through Jesus Christ, we are considered sons and daughters. It says one and only begotten. So what about these other names that are thrown up from other religions or faith traditions or cults? It's only one begotten son. And that is God the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ, who always existed. Beloved, the Father gave God his only Son to atone for our sin. You ever run across somebody that said to you, I'm not a sinner? When they say that to you, you know, you know what you're about to say, right? You got it right. You're lying. You making that statement is a lie. Because yes. Why? Because the word of God says all of us have sinned. Children. Yes, parents. We think our children are so pure. Oh, they pure. They're so innocent until they do something wrong. Get off of that. Leave that alone. Why? Because as a result of the fall of mankind through Adam, we all are born in sin. We have a sin nature. That's why we need to be born again. And the only way that happens is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know that scripture, what impact it has had to be someone growing up and knowing that God loves them and knowing that he loves them in spite of who they are and what they have done can make a difference. Can make a difference even in our lives. So life lesson number three is this. God gave us faith to believe in him. Whosoever believeth in him. God gave us faith to believe in him. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Beloved, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 reminds us that to each one, God has given a measure of faith. So, you know what? Even scripture says God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth. Some people look at that and say, ah, we got to earn it. You got to believe. You got to believe. And so if you don't muster up that belief, if you don't work on that belief, then you're not going to be saved. Guess what God does? He knows we can't do it without him. So guess what he does? He gives us faith. The faith that we have comes from him. So we can't really believe without God's faith in us. When he created us with gifts. And one of those gifts is faith. One of the fruits of the Spirit is faith. Isn't that amazing? That God loves us so much that he gives us faith. Romans 12:3 reminds us that to each one, God has given a measure of faith. Hebrews 11:6 puts it this way. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek. So as a young child growing up and remembering scripture, and of course, I didn't know all of this back then, no. The life lessons develop along life. Ups and downs, bumps and bruises, making mistakes, getting proper teaching, discernment. So life lesson number four is this. Beloved, God said, we shall not perish. Wow. What does that mean? That we shall not be eternally separated from God. We shall not be. What does he say? He says, God said, we shall not perish. Isn't that good news? In other words, we won't be eternally separated from God. Why? Because God said it. God said, well, how's that so? How's that so? He says, because he provided Jesus to atone for our sin. Sin, yes, separates us from God. That's why when we sin, we walk in with God and we sin, we backslide, we sin. We don't want to call sin sin, but we messed up, but we sin, that we feel the way we feel because we have the Spirit of God in us that lets us know. You could have handled that better. Was that the right thing to say, to do? And it makes us feel conviction in our heart. Not condemnation, but conviction. And there's a difference. Conviction lets us know that was wrong. Condemnation condemns us for what we did. Jesus paid the price for our sin. He said, we shall not perish, but eternally, which means eternally separated from God. No, we shall not perish. Life lesson number five is this. But God said, we shall be eternally united with God. So, beloved, we are on a path. We're on a journey right now that as believers in Christ, we are eternally going and walking with God forever. Forever. So what does that mean? We are consciously or should be consciously aware that we are in the presence of God every single day and everything that we say and everything that we do and everywhere that we go. Because God is an omnipotent God. He's all powerful. God is omniscient God. He's all knowing. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. So what does that mean? Oh, I got to watch my idle words. I got to watch what I say. I got to watch what I do. I got to watch what I think. And all kinds of thoughts come through our mind, but we're able to filter them through the word of God. We're able to renew our mind, wash our mind with the word of God. And so God tells us that we shall not perish. We shall be eternally united with God to have that everlasting life forever. Life lesson number six is this. God did not send his son into the world to judge the world or to condemn the world. Aren't you glad? Guilty? Because we would be. Yep. But that was not his purpose to condemn the world. That was not God's purpose. It is not God's purpose. His purpose is that the world, through faith in Jesus Christ, would be saved. Some people will say, why I got to pay for Adam's sin? Okay, fair question. I'll ask the question again. Have we sinned since Adam ourselves? I got my own. Adam had his. I got my own. Do I need Christ for me? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Beloved, God sent his son, Jesus the Christ, into the world to save us. Amen. Some of the life lessons that I learned along the way, some even revealed to me in preparation for the message today. Take a moment. Think of one scripture. Just looking at my time. Think of one scripture. You didn't think I was going to ask the children and not ask you, did you?
I'm out of there.
One scripture. Just think of one scripture that will impact your life. And has transformed your life. Just take a moment. Just think. Be open to the Holy Spirit speaking and ministering to you. Would anybody like to share their scripture? Would anybody like to share this scripture? Yes, please. Thank you. Share. Just speak up a little loud.
Hebrews 10:23. It's my favorite. I've said it before. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
It's faithful. Wow. God is faithful. Hold on to the hope that we have in God, because he's faithful. He's not like some folks that say, I'm going to be with you. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to be with you. And then when you need them, you can't find them. Even though they may have good intentions, even though we may have good intentions. And from that, I encourage you to write down some life lessons from that scripture. It's going to help you along the journey. Anyone else would like to share this scripture? Yes, please. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not heart. Won't you just feel that peace of God? Hallelujah. Wow. Now from that, develop some life lessons for you. Yes. Thank you. Two thumbs up. That's right. Anyone else? Yes, sir. 16:24.
Yeah, Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow him.
If we want to be a disciple, a follower, we must surrender ourselves. And then we can't do that by ourselves. We need God to help us surrender. How many times have you said, Lord, help me surrender and put this down? Here's that third piece of cake. I can put it down. In Jesus' name, put it down. We need to surrender. Help him. Because we can't take up the cross without surrendering. cross, as heavy as it is, if my hands are filled with everything else, how can I pick up the cross? And I know that's metaphorically speaking, you know, but we get a picture. How can I pick up the cross if my hands are filled with all my other mess and stuff like that? I got to put something down in order to be pick up my cross. And the cross works two ways. That cross on the hill, far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Cross may be looked at as a burden, yes, but also may be looked at as a blessing because of who gave his life for us on the cross. And it's interesting that God would use a cross. Vertical, heaven down, horizontal. Brother to brother, sister to sister. Vertical, God reaching down to man. Man, we reach up to God. Horizontal, we reach out to each other. And what's in the middle? It's a point where we are in our life at a crossroad where we have to make a decision. Are we going to live for God or are we going to live for the world? Are we going to get to some of the world now? And when I get older, maybe when I get to be your age, preacher, when I get older, then I'll accept. There's no guarantee we're going to get older. No guarantee. But I'll serve him like you serving him when I get to be your age. No guarantee. Life is full of decisions that have to be made when we're at a point, crossroad. One more, and we'll close it out. Yes.
I was just thinking about your analogy about the cross.
Yes.
I don't know exactly where this come from. I think it's Philippines.
From where?
Philippines.
Yeah. Okay.
Paul said, if I die again, because I live for Jesus, right?
Yes. I like that scripture as well. Whether I live unto the Lord. If I die, I die unto the Lord. So whether I live, whether I die, I still belong to God. It's a game for me. Because I'm going to be with the Lord. I'd rather stay with you. No, I'd rather be with the Lord, but I need to stay with you. I need to stay with you. I'd rather be with the Lord, but I need to stay with you. I'd rather be with the Lord, but I need to stay with you. Why? Because God is using us to encourage one another. To share the good news. To share the good news, Christ, his life, his miracles, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his prayer. Thank you so much. I'm going to share this last piece of good news. You might have heard this here before. And then we'll close out in prayer. It's called John 3:16, the miniature gospel. For God, the greatest love, so love the greatest degree, the world, the greatest love, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest invitation, believes the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest person, should not perish the greatest deliverance, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. John 3:16, John 3:17, impact my life. Thank you for sharing yours. I encourage all of us to take at least one scripture, at least one, and then from that scripture, study, meditate, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and develop some life lessons, things that you've learned. And maybe some things that you want to learn, that scripture can help you.
and it'll make a difference in your life. Let's pray. God, we just thank you. We thank you, dear Lord. We thank you for giving us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for such a time as this. We thank you. Lord, we may have fallen short along the journey, but thank you for refreshing us, renewing us, restoring us, reviving, renewing us. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. May we hide it in our heart that we sin not against you. Help us to continue to grow. Help us to continue to be an example for the young people, for our families, for the world, as we are disciples of Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed. Help us to share the gospel, good news with others. Not be ashamed, but to share. So many ways that the Holy Spirit can use us to share. Sometimes it's verbal, sometimes it can be written, sometimes it can be through prayer, sometimes it can be just showing up and let somebody know that you care. So many ways to share the good news. Lord, we thank you. We pray if there's someone here that has not opened up their heart to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, our prayer is that they would open up their heart and say, Lord, I yield, I surrender. I want to be your disciple. I surrender myself to be your God. Mind, body, soul, spirit, all of them. And I confess my sins before you. And they are me. Thought, word, and omission, commission. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin, cleansing me with righteousness, and filling me with your Holy Spirit, sealing me. That nothing can separate us. Not even the devil cannot snatch us out of life. I believe that you died, gave your life, that you rose from the dead, that you are God. Besides, there is none. Thank you, Lord, for being with us along the journey. You remain with us. Without eternity. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.